Thank you, Debbie. Good morning, everyone. It's great to have you with us today. We are a church that does not exist for itself. We believe what Peter said, that whatever spiritual gift we have received from God, talents, we use those gifts, we use those talents for the benefit of others. This past week, I was working in the office, and a person whom I didn't know came in and gave me a letter. I looked up, and the person who gave me the letter was gone. I want to read to you what this person wrote. It fits in well with our congregation, using gifts for the benefit of others. I'm writing to you to say thank you to the congregation where you serve. Thank you for providing the counseling ministry by Joanne Harrison. Without your congregation's willingness to support your community in their time of need, I would have never been able to get the support I needed. I am so glad that God provided me with your congregation. Just last month, I finished my last session with Joanne after seeing her for over a year. Without the counseling, I truly believe I would not be alive today. I love the quote that's on your church website. We are a church that exists not for itself, but for the community. Thank you, Joanne. And thank you to all who continue to use your gifts to benefit others. Let's just take a moment to get up where we are, to welcome one another, and then we'll get into our teaching for this morning. The city of Los Angeles is sometimes called the City of Angels. And in downtown Los Angeles, there is this amazing church called the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels. And I think we're going to see some pictures on the screen behind me. It's an amazing church. It's a welcoming church without anyone even having to say, you are welcome to this church. It's just created in such a way that it's absolutely beautiful. And as you walk into the church, I'm hoping that this things will be coming up, there are tapestries along the wall. Not that. We're going to keep trying. We're going to get these pulled up, I think, sooner or later. And that's not it either. Well, maybe I can talk about it until it comes up. So if you want to picture in your minds, if you can, an open concept of this beautiful church. And along each wall, there are some 25 tapestries. And if you're like me, who is very ignorant when it comes to even what the word tapestry means, there's huge wall hangings, and they absolutely cover both walls of the complete sanctuary. 25 of them, each one is 18 feet tall, and they represent 135 saints of old, and you choose who they are. There's no names given. John Nava was the man who created all of these. And their faces look like you and I. Have you ever seen pictures or artist conceptions of the saints? They always have these stern looks, and they look kind of different than all of us. But in these tapestries, they look just like us. But what's amazing about all of these saints, whether it be Jeremiah or Isaiah or Paul or Peter or Mary or Phoebe or whoever, and even some of the saints of today, that they're all looking in one direction. And in the middle of this church, there is the big communion table, a Eucharist table, and it is so large. And what's interesting is all of the saints, all in the tapestries, are all looking in the same direction, and they're all looking at the table, which is, without saying a word, when someone walks in, You mean I can participate with these saints in communion? You see, when we take communion, it's not just you and I taking communion. We're taking it together, but not just here. We're taking it together with people everywhere and people who even lived centuries before us. We are part of them, and they are part of us. I want to read to you a scripture that we'll look at later as time goes on in this series. But Hebrews 11:39 says this: "These saints were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised." Think about that with me for just a moment. So if you go back and you think of all the saints of old, even going back 2,000 years and think of Peter and Paul and so forth, but going way, way back, whether they had Passover and then after Christ comes having communion, it says, these saints of old, they were commended for their faith, but none of them had received what had been promised. And then listen to this. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Would they be made complete? If you ever feel kind of lowly and impish about your own faith, look back on these great, great saints of old telling each one of us, I'm part of you, and you're part of me. And anything that I said or did for the Lord's behalf was okay, but it's only made right because you keep that same tradition going. We're part of it together. We belong to Paul. We belong to Peter. We belong to Mary. We belong to Jeremiah. But even maybe as important as that, they belong to us. Someday, if the Lord tarries and doesn't come back in another 2,000 years, can you imagine what the world would be like? I mean, I think we're technologically advanced off the charts as it is. I can't imagine what the world would be like. Here comes the pictures. Now, if you just want to go with me, these tapestries, they go all the way along. And see, what a long haul that is. Eventually, you're going to make your way up to that table. And it's a beautiful church. It's all being lit. So these saints of old look just like the people sitting in the audience, other than the fact that they're wearing long gowns, but I mean, their facial features look very much the same. And to me, I don't know about you, but when I was preparing this lesson this week, I don't think of ourselves in the same terms as the people mentioned in the Bible. Somehow I've been maybe tainted a little bit with how artists' conception of what these saints look like. But the fact of the matter is, we're part of them and they're part of us. And as I was saying, if we live, if the world continues on for another couple of thousands of years, I don't know what the people will look like in those days. They might somehow get a snapshot of all of us today in the year 2018 and go, they wore those kind of clothes? They looked like that? Their hairstyle was that way? But then they would say the same thing that we're saying today. We're part of them, just as they are part of the former generation and the former generation and the former generation. And it's all leading to what Jesus has said, a restoration of one day of all things. In fact, when Peter was preaching, and he just started preaching, listen to what he says. This is not on PowerPoint. Return to God and let your sins be wiped away so that the refreshing times of the Lord may come and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, because he must remain in heaven until the time comes for God, listen, to restore everything as he promised long ago through the prophets. This long line of saints. Last week, we looked at the story of Elijah. Sometimes those saints were exhausted. And sometimes you and I can be exhausted. And sometimes we feel like I shouldn't be exhausted. Well, the reality is we sometimes are exhausted, as saints of old were exhausted. But what this church says to me is, you're part of it. No matter how you're feeling, no matter where you're at, you're part of it. And you know who else is part of that? People who never believed in God. In fact, people who killed Christians. Saul, who becomes Paul, and others, later become Christians, and they're all taking communion. We're all facing it together. So even today, when we come together, we're just part of this long line that maybe will continue for even a longer time. So when we're feeling exhausted, let's not stop, and let's not ignore how we feel. So we need to get the rest that we need. And sometimes we rely on one another. And have you ever felt sometimes when taking communion, you just don't feel worthy for whatever reason? Always take communion. Because you may not feel worthy, but others around you are feeling for you. No matter how you feel, you're part of something that's larger than each one of us. It's a tradition, and a wonderful tradition that continues to go forward. But tiredness is there. Thomas Long, who wrote an exhaustive commentary on Hebrews, when I first read this, I thought it was negative, and then I read it again and again and again. I said, oh man, this is so good. Listen to what he says. The preacher, whoever it is in Hebrews, is writing to a congregation that is exhausted. They're tired. They're tired of serving in the world. They're tired of worship. They're tired of Christian education. They're tired of being peculiar and whispered about in society. They're tired of the spiritual struggle. They're tired of trying to keep their prayer life going. They're even tired of the demands of Jesus. Their hands droop and their knees are weak, chapter 12 and verse 12. Attendance is way down at church, chapter 10 and verse 25 of Hebrews. And they are all losing confidence. The threat to this congregation is not that they're charging off in the wrong direction. They don't have enough energy to charge anywhere. The threat here is this: worn down and wore out, that they will drop the end of the rope and drift away. Tired of walking the walk, many of them are considering taking a walk. Ever felt that way? Leaving the community and falling away from faith. But what that church says is, even if you're away for a while, you're still part of us. And I want to bring you back. The Hebrew writer, we don't know who it is. For the longest time, people thought it was Paul. Then most people say, no. Some people think it's Barnabas. No. Well, some people think it's Apollos. No. Dr. Stuart Love believes it was the woman who wrote this. We don't know. We don't know who wrote this book. But we know the point of the book is, if you're tired and you're exhausted, realize how God feels about us. So very quickly, I just want to go through the first chapter, which was read to us by Debbie today, and just make a couple of points. Throughout this book, we're going to notice a number of things. The writer's going to talk about some pretty incredible people. Hebrews chapter 11, I guess, is called the Hall of Fame of Faith. I'm going to list all of these great prophets. And as we just read at the end of chapter 11, it said, but they weren't made complete. And you think of some of the prophets and how amazing they were. And the Hebrew writer says, but they didn't finish the job unless you're part of them. That they are made complete only by us, and vice versa. That we connect to them. That there's this long line of fellowship that continues. And throughout this book, they're going to be talking about a variety of things. But let's get this one thing straight, the writer says. And it begins with the first four verses of chapter 1. It is the key to the entire book. If you're feeling exhausted, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're exhausted spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every way, and you just don't know what to do, listen to this. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors and spoke to the prophets, and at many times, and he did it in a variety of ways. But in these last days, and I want to stop, please don't be afraid when you hear this phrase in the New Testament, in these last days. There's just been this conversation over the years that when Christ comes again, that we're in the last days, or when this happens, then we're in the last days, or when that happens, then we're in the last days. We have been in the last days since Christ came into the world. When Christ came, he is in the last days. When he died on the cross to defeat Satan, the last days are promised that death is no longer the end, that the resurrection is for all of us. So when the Hebrew writer is saying, you and I, we're living in the last days, it says this, God has spoken to each one of us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of... Anybody remember what it says? All things. He is the heir of all things. He is the one that God promised all along, who is it all made complete with him and through him. He is the heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. God said, and John says, that everything that was made, Jesus made. And then he says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And he is sustaining all things by his word. Meaning, if Jesus ever drops the ball, none of us would exist. He's the heir of all things. He sustains every breath each person on this earth takes. He sustains it all. And then someone says, well, why is there evil in the world? Because God loves us so much that he gives us choices, free will. I love you. I will love you more than you can ever understand. But it's up to you. I'm not going to force you to love me. But I love you. And I'm going to keep pouring myself out to you. In fact, I created another me, God said, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to show how much I do love you. And his death and burial and resurrection is a demonstration of all of that. So don't drift away because you think you're unworthy or because you don't like a style of worship. Or because I've got these problems, and because I can never measure up. All of these things, none of them make any sense. God loves you. That's the end of it. He wants you to know that he's giving all of himself to you. Will you respond? Even in your exhaustion, you're part of something, even from Genesis chapter 1, when God created the world, you were in his mind. You're not random. You're not just a coincidence. You're not simply a product of your parents. In fact, over and over again, the scripture says, he chose us even before the creation of the world. That's powerful to think of how much he cares for us. So then he goes on in chapter 1 to talk about the angels. But not to get hung up on them, because all throughout this book, he's going to talk about other things, other particular situations that sometimes want to crowd in. We don't worship angels. Begins by saying, Christ is sustainer of all things. Now, there are other things that some people think are. One of them are angels, and the writer says, no. In fact, if you would, go to the very last verse in Hebrews chapter 1. As Debbie read to us today, listen to what it says. Are not all angels spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. In other words, angels exist. They were not born. Angels were made by God to serve Christians. And the reality of all of that is we don't worship angels. Angels don't want to be worshiped. Angels were coming into existence by the creation of God himself to serve us. Why? To help us be part of this long line of history, of this long line of ancestry, that we're all part of something that's beyond words and more than we could ever comprehend. So you might have people like comment a little bit about, yeah, but what about Michael the archangel? What about Gabriel the archangel? Well, what about him? Yeah, but they're way more powerful than we are. Yeah. But they were created by God to serve who? Us. So if you ever feel like you're unworthy, well, God thinks otherwise, sorry. He's pouring out himself, even with angels coming. And someone says, well, I've never even seen an angel. You're not supposed to. You know, in fact, in the scripture, it says, offer hospitality. Sometimes people have done that, and they've entertained angels and didn't even know it. It's quite incredible how God pours himself out into our lives. And in this book that we go through, I hope that even in our exhaustion, that we will feel like, maybe some energy's coming back to me. Maybe I can be the person that God has always chosen me to be. But if you ever forget, and it happens in life with difficulties coming along, if you can, in your own mind, or try to do this after noticing this amazing church, just picture yourself sitting in that pew of that church and picture Jeremiah sitting on one side. Picture Mary sitting on the other side. I picture that because they are sitting beside us. Or picture your mother. Or picture your father sitting beside you, because they are. Or picture 1,000 years from now when your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren are sitting in a pew and you're sitting beside them, because you will be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for doing for us more than we even know. Thank you for pouring yourself out into us through Jesus Christ. We're so sorry that he had to go to the cross for all of us, but we're so grateful he did. May we never take faith as common, but when we notice that we are part of something long before us and in the present and also in the future. And as we have communion today, may we picture sitting beside you, maybe with the apostles, maybe with the prophets, or maybe with loved ones who have long gone and are with you, and that we will one day be united again, but that we have communion together. Thank you so much for your love, and thank you for giving us what we need. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.